You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
This is Stephen A. from Hollis, Queens, and the Michael K. Show starts now. Holla at your boy, Michael, Don Juan, and Peter.
Thank you, Stephen A., and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Thursday, May 27th, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're apart, but we're together for the next 4.5 hours. The other 19 and a half, that's your responsibility. This is technically the beginning of the Memorial Day weekend.
That's right.
People start to escape New York and go to the Jersey Shore or the Hamptons or wherever they may be headed. They think they're going to get a head start, but everybody thinks they're going to get a head start, and they get stuck in traffic. And you know what traffic is?
What?
Traffic is the best friend of radio shows. So settle in and hope we can actually entertain you for the next 4.5 hours. So we start off, of course, with the New York Knicks, who have evened up the series at a game apiece. The crowd was unbelievable yesterday. I think they kind of spurred the Knicks on to what they did in the second half, and I think they might have gotten a little bit to the Atlanta Hawks. Because in the first half of the game, it looked like it was all the Atlanta Hawks. Every run the Knicks made, the Hawks would answer. The Knicks were essentially playing without Julius Randle. He didn't have a field goal in the first half.
Yeah.
I think he had one free throw. And it just looked like it was going to be that way, because at the beginning of the second half, Walt Frazier said, these next 5 minutes will decide the game. He said, the Atlanta Hawks have to hold off the inevitable run that the Knicks will have. The Knicks made a run. The Hawks held it off. And 6 minutes in, I think they had a 13-point lead. So if you're going by what Walt said, well, that's the game. And it was a little odd. But things just fell apart for Atlanta. And Derrick Rose took over. Tom Thibodeau smartened up, did not start Elfrid Payton in the second half. I don't know why he started in the game. You know, everybody's saying, well, he wants to control the minutes of Derrick Rose. He didn't control him yesterday, because in a must-win situation, what'd he do?
Rode Derrick Rose.
Well, like a show pony. He had to. Otherwise, they lose. Peter, otherwise, they lose. I mean, there were nice moments. Toppin's alley-oop electrified the crowd, made his mom cry. Bullock hit some big shots. But even Randall, who finished with okay numbers, he didn't do anything offensively. He was great defensively. If you watched him defensively, he shut whomever he was near down. But I'm going to throw Go ahead.
I was going to say, Randall also had, remember we were texting last night, he had that minute stretch with a bucket and then a dish to Gibson. He had a really big offensive stretch, you know, two possession stretch when they needed him. But offensively, generally, no, he was not a factor.
And I'm going to throw this at you two guys. And you might disagree with me totally. And we didn't talk about it before the show. So you should feel good about the Knicks winning. I don't feel that great. I don't like the way they won. I mean, I'm thrilled that they won. But really, are you going to ride Derrick Rose in a best-of-seven series and he's going to have to play 35 minutes a game? And now the games come fast and furious. There's another game on Friday and another game on Sunday. Sunday at 1. How about a quick turnaround? So it's not going to give a lot of time for his body to rebound. So unless Julius Randle returns to what Julius Randle could do, is that good, A? And B, if you watch the game and you're honest with each other, the Hawks were missing wide open shots in the fourth quarter. Wide open shots. DeAndre Hunter had 3 wide open 3-pointers that didn't come close to the basket. Their second highest scorer of the season, Collins, was in instant foul trouble. It was a non-factor, non-factor. And if you think you slowed down Trae Young, you didn't. He had a really, really good game. So if they had D'd up at the end of the fourth quarter and made them miss the shots, that would mean more to me than what I saw, because the Hawks lost that game. Derrick Rose won it, but the Hawks had opportunities to get back in the game, and they missed wide open threes. That's a concern of mine, and also putting the whole season on the back of a 32-year-old who has bad knees. I just didn't like the feel of it.
Well, Randall's going to have to wake up offensively, right? But there were still a lot of great moments for him, especially in the second half, especially in that third quarter. So I think he could be better offensively. But I'm with you, Michael, if you really want to dissect it to a fine powder. But, you know, watching that game last night and just watching the series, these are two exceptionally evenly matched teams, and this series is probably going to go seven. And, yeah, they can play better, and they're going to have to try to play better. But, you know, now it's a best of five. I don't know if home court really is going to matter at this point. Everything seems to point to it almost being a neutral site down in Atlanta. So there's some negatives, there's some positives, but overall I just think it's two evenly matched teams that deserve to be even at a game apiece.
Now, there was something that Nate McMillan did that I don't understand. So Trae Young, the best player on the court, I believe, was subbed out at the 221 mark in the third quarter. At that point, it was 72-72. Now, you gotta give guys a little bit of a blow. So I'm not saying you don't take them out of the game. You know when he put him back in the game? 8:34 left in the fourth quarter. The Knicks went on a 16-6 run while he was on the bench, and the Hawks missed 9 of their 10 shot attempts in that span. Why was he on the bench for that long? So not only was he on the bench for the final 2:21 of the third quarter, he's sitting between quarters, and then the first almost 4 minutes of the fourth quarter. What are you doing? You got an opportunity to put Earl Monroe's on Twitter now, and he said that Nate McMillan lost that game. He said you had an opportunity to put your foot on the throat, and you didn't. You took out your best player, who's young, both his last name and literally. For what? Why would you rest him that much? Yeah, I get resting him, but you're going to let the other team go on a 16-6 run and take the game? So when he got back in the game, they were down 10. Made no sense. That's the first. Well, now they're kind of even. I think that Thibodeau insisting on starting Peyton in game one and then playing him in the third quarter, that was not a great coaching move. But this is terrible what Nate McMillan did. I don't understand why he did it.
Unless there's just a level of, hey, this is a long series, you know, I'm not going to wear my guy out. As you said, we've got somewhat of a short turnaround for, you know, NBA playoff standards coming up for game three. I go for the jugular, Michael, myself. I mean, because, you know, if you could take, I'm still a believer the Knicks had lost that game, especially if you're only going to get 15 again from Randall. I think they would have been done. And then you can get plenty of rest between series. And then you could do whatever you want with your stars, up 2-0 going home. I would have gone for the kill, unless he's just thinking like long, wide-angle lens of, hey, this is a long series. I want to make sure I've got my guy fresh for, you know, potential game 6 or 7. I am not excusing it, Michael.
No, if that's his reason,
I'm just trying to reach for reasons why you would think about resting a guy at that significant moment, unless they're just, hey, we came in here to get a split. We got it. If we can win resting them, great. If not, we're still in good shape the rest of the way. I disagree with that, but that could be the only reasoning.
This is Monroe's actual tweet. All right, he's real Earl Monroe. Nate McMillan might have just given the series away. You never rest your guys when you're in complete control and can go up 2 games away from home. They took their foot off the Knicks' neck and awakened the sleeping giant. Great comeback led by veterans Rose and Gibson. Now, we should talk about Gibson, too. That was a very, very smart, savvy coaching move, inserting Gibson in for Nerlens Noel. Because Gibson controlled the boards. He was wreaking havoc defensively. He was getting offensive rebounds, keeping the ball alive. He was a big part of what the Knicks did in the fourth quarter. Big part. So that was a great move as well. So, hey, it's even. Isn't that what we wanted? You know, you'd like the Knicks to take 2, but we said they had a win yesterday, and they won. Now we see how it unfolds on Friday. Now, the Nets get a little bad news today. Jeff Green has plantar fasciitis, and he's out for at least the next 10 days. And that's a big, big piece for the Nets. And their next game will be on Friday as well. So we'll keep an eye on it. We want to hear from you, 1-800-919-3776.
Also, Michael, we'd be remiss, too, if out of the gate we don't mention, good job on the on MSG and the Knicks finding the fan who spit on Trae Young and banning him immediately. I mean, we talked yesterday, and you've been talking, Michael, about how unacceptable, you know, to you the language is in the Garden, and Don and I sort of said, hey, it happens. But, I mean, how low can you get?
You know, I thought about that a lot, Peter, and not to get too deep here, but what kind of person thinks that it's acceptable to spit on another human being? Who thinks that's okay?
Mom.
That has to be an indictment of how you were raised. Well, you have a screw loose. The same thing, and I don't think it's as bad, dumping the popcorn on Westbrook's head in Philly. That guy lost his season tickets and is banned from Wells Fargo. What are you thinking? Why do you think that you have here's the problem with a lot of fans. They think they have to be part of the proceedings.
Well, they think they are part.
You're supposed to sit back and watch the proceedings, not be part of the proceedings. And again, if I could have hugged the TV set yesterday when Breen said, listen, I've been a Knicks fan my whole life since I was 7 years old, live and die with this team. It's unacceptable that they're chanting that word at the Garden. And I agree. I said it. And even said, maybe I'm an old man. But I thought about that too. No. Maybe I'm just civilized. Because if I brought my kids to the Garden and they were chanting that word and we don't use that word in the house, how would you explain it to them? What are they saying, Dad? Why are they saying that? Why is that okay now to in civil public discourse to be chanting that? And it started here at Yankee Stadium with the bleep Altuve stuff. And now they do it every single game. Now it's become a thing. Now it's acceptable. How much of a slide have we gone into as a society that's okay to do?
And the shame of it is, the absolute shame of it is just how proud every Knicks fan should be about just how into the game they were. And I thought it was a great scene outside of MSG last night on 7th Avenue where you can see them through the glass as they're doing the post-game show. I mean, it was a great scene last night. It was almost as if a championship was won, the way they had taken to the streets and were celebrating being Knicks fans. That's a positive. That's a really cool thing. And don't let a few people bring it down, like the one idiot decides to spit on someone. One of the worst things you can do. I'd rather be punched than spit on.
Me too.
You know, especially what we're going through now with the pandemic. I mean, really? But, Michael, I've met a lot of these people. I know a lot of these people. They think they are part of it. More so than just buying a ticket and going to the game and affecting it verbally, they think that they're on the team. I mean, you hear some of the callers. I mean, people wanting the opposition to die, and you know they get so caught up in it that there's no room for that behavior. I mean, listen, I think it's awful they're chanting that word, but you know I guess I can live with that way more than I can live with spitting on a player. I don't care how much you hate him. I don't care how much he's killed your team. To do that, that's lowest common denominator stuff. You should be never allowed. He should be banned from any building for sports in New York, period. Heck, I think he should be banned from ever entering any building entertainment-wise, any theater. That's subhuman behavior.
I just
like being in a jail cell for spitting on another human being.
Well, listen. If you had told me that prior to this, you know, he had gotten into a fist fight with someone and the person showed disrespect to the mother of his children and he ended up spitting in a fit of rage, I'd understand. It's a basketball player at the Garden.
Now you want to, you know, you Peter, you want to know what clever trolling is? Trae Young's balding. That's funny. It's creative. You're gonna really get into his head if it bothers him. And how could it not when you're that age and your hair is clearly falling out in clumps? But to say F Trae Young and to think that's okay and their kids in the stand. Again, I don't want to sound like a fuddy-duddy, but that's not the way my kids are going to be raised, to use that word whenever they want. Well, it's amazing to me. It is absolutely amazing to me that that's what we have deteriorated to as a society, that 15,000 people in unison can actually chant that and think it's cool, think it's okay. Oh, I'm just trying to upset the other team. Great. We've done
and
a great
maybe
job.
You're right.
By the
way, maybe it really shows that your concern about the language was right, because maybe that's the beginning. That sort of behavior begets more.
Oh, absolutely, Peter. Absolutely. Well, we could say that. Now, what's the next step? Let's start spitting on people. By the way, congratulations. The Mets just won 1-0, first game of their doubleheader. Marcus Stroman pitched very well, and the Met offense exploded for one run, so they won 1-0, and they're looking for a sweep today of the Rockies. And at 4 o'clock, the Yankees will have the Toronto Blue Jays in a doubleheader as well. 1-800-919-3776. The only run for the Mets came on a Jose Peraza home run. Diaz got the save, 7-inning game, and the Mets are 23-20. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's see what you think. And congratulations to the New York Knicks, by the way. All the other stuff aside, the spitting, the F words, that's a nice win. And I think the crowd did play a role with how loud they were and how intense they were. But there are lines that can't be crossed either. Let's go to Lee in Brooklyn. Lee, you're next, or you're first.
Hey, guys, how are you? Big fan of yours. I love listening to the show. It's a pleasure. But, Mike, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I'm a diehard Knicks fan since the early 90s. Listen, I hate my opponents, but I just hate them from a sports perspective as far as going against them. Personally, it doesn't make sense to me. I thought it was disgusting, and if I took my son to a game, I'd be embarrassed. I was never embarrassed as a Knicks fan until yesterday. The win was awesome. But other than that, people are just, I don't know, I think people have nothing better to do with their life. The world is...
Oh, no.
We're losing you. It is like the world's going in places that we never thought. I think things that we never thought were acceptable are now very, very much... You know what I would like in Michael K. world, if I could rule the world? See if you follow me. The guy that spit, or I don't know if it was a guy or a gal. I think it was a guy. The guy that spit on Trae Young. Trae Young gets to beat the living crap out of him without any repercussions. The guy who threw the popcorn on Russell Westbrook, he gets to beat him up. Westbrook gets to just take him in a room and throw him a beating like, because all the people that chant that stuff and spit and stuff like that, they're like the people on Twitter. They have anonymity muscles. You would never, ever spit in Trae Young's face right in front of him. You would never dump popcorn on Russell Westbrook's head when you're right in front. You'd never do it because you're gutless. So if there were repercussions where somebody could actually beat the living crap out of you, I don't think you'd do it. I'm just saying, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong, but
no,
I don't think you'd
wrong.
Do it.
You're not wrong. It's really a shame. You don't want it to bring it down. It shouldn't bring it down. Because, again, it's just the one person that spit. But there's a lot more than just one person chanting that. You heard how loud it was.
Oh, my goodness.
And there's the sense of entitlement. And I get it. Listen, I'm a fan. I get caught up in it, too. It's been a long year. I get it. It's been a long, long year. But we're still a society, and there's still ways we're supposed to go about things, okay? I know we all can't agree on things. And we've gotten really loud, and our muscles have built up over the last 15 months because we've gone through what generations of people have never had to go through before. I get it. But we're still a society. There's still a way that society functions. There's still a decorum in which you're supposed to carry yourself with. That has not changed, okay? As off-putting as these 15 months were, as tough as they've been for everybody, the societal norms can't all come crashing down because of it.
And I think
they work hand in hand, Peter. I do, because I think people have waited so long. They've been off put by what's happened, and they kind of feel like the freedom that they've gotten back, they're willing to take it that little extra yard farther than they should.
You're absolutely right.
And we can't have that happen. We can't break down the societal norms. Things that were unacceptable before the pandemic are still unacceptable now.
And there's so many things to say here. Number one, what a hold my beer moment for the Knicks fans, because you're watching Philly pour popcorn on Russell Westbrook, and that was bad enough, but then spitting takes it to an entirely different level. Then you have the fact that 15,000 fans were awesome last night, you know, and had this awesome reason to celebrate, and so many people now, the front page on ESPN, you're talking about this idiot who decided to spit at Trae Young. And then, Michael, have you ever considered what would have happened if that spit had fallen short and hit 50 Cent?
Oh, boy.
This guy would need to run away and find a new life.
It did hit the model or the influencer that was sitting next to 50 Cent. Now, here's another thing that's troubling to me. So when Mike Breen said it on the air, right, he almost had to apologize for being old-fashioned. Now, Mike Vaccaro, great columnist. He tweeted out, "I get it. I'm a dinosaur. Maybe I'm just a flat-out old-fashioned prude. So rip me for this if you must. Still, of all the chance in the world, is bleep Trae Young really the best that Gordon could do? Why are we, the civilized ones, apologizing for being civilized? I'm not going to apologize and say I'm a fuddy-duddy. That's ridiculous. But I'm a civilized person that was raised the right way. And you don't you drop the F word in 15,000 people in unison. You know what they should do here at the stadium, at the Garden, at Citi Field? Any of those chants, they throw the people out. Let's try to bring civility back to our life, okay? Again, how are you going to bring a kid to a stadium or an arena if they're going to be chanting that? How are you going to do that? And one other thing. I tweeted this out yesterday, and I thought I'd get crushed. The New York Knicks, they have one of the great uniforms in all of sports, and they wear that trash for a playoff game? Are you kidding me? Who made that decision?
Yeah.
Who made that decision? It had to be an NBA pro. There's nobody in Knick marketing that would say, let's wear these ugly uniforms when we have the most beautiful uniforms in basketball. And then by wearing those ugly black uniforms that don't resemble a Knick uniform at all, you're letting the Hawks wear the white.
They look more like the Knicks than the Knicks did last night.
Exactly, Don.
And, you know, the old Seinfeld joke, you're rooting for the laundry. You're not even doing that anymore. Because at first blush, did you think they're playing their first Garden playoff series, right? Big, huge game, and you're wearing a jersey that you might as well be, who knows, Oklahoma City, could be anybody. Like, that's not the Knicks. That should be instantaneous. As soon as I turn on the TV, recognizable who's playing. For a split second, I'm thinking, all right, well, white, there's some orange in there that look like the Hawks look like the Knicks.
So Charlie's watching the game with me. He goes, so the Knick colors are blue, orange, and black? I said, no, it's not black. He said, but that's their color. I said, no. He said, well, why do they do that? I said, because they want to sell uniforms. Because that's the hot color. That's not their color, Charlie. And then he said, but I've seen other teams with black. I said, the same thing. It's not their color.
But, all right, so if you – I disagree with it because I hate when the Mets wore the black back in the day. But keep the logo the same. If you want to throw some black into it to sell it, I don't even know. They don't even have their logo.
Like the Bulls used to. They used to have a black uniform.
Right.
It was just like the Bulls uniform. Now, I don't – you know me, love money, love making money. If you want to sell alternate uniforms and you could fool people into buying them, do it during the regular season. Also a joke. But during the playoffs on national television, that's what you're going to put out to the people, that trashy, ugly uniform with a circle in the front? Come on, man.
But I like the shorts. I like the colors. But it you can't just have the City Never Sleeps or whatever it is.
Oh, so bad.
And you're right. That I'm sure that's an NBA initiative.
See, I'll tell you one thing, though. When I tweeted that, I thought, wow, I'm going to just get crushed. No. 3,500 likes. There are more people that are normal than not. People said it's terrible they're wearing that. It's terrible. Why are we talking about this stuff when we should have been talking about, wow, they got a great win? Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. Also, the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. And before we take a break, let me give you the Yankees starting lineup for game one of their doubleheader against the Toronto Blue Jays. Today's Yankees starting lineup brought to you by Bigelow T. LeMahieu at third, Odor at second, Aaron Judge the DH. Batting fourth, shortstop Gleyber Torres. Mike Ford at first will bat fifth. Batting sixth, the right fielder Clint Frazier. Miguel Andujar's in left. He'll bat seventh. Batting eighth and playing center field, Brett Gardner. And Kyle Higashioka will catch, and he will bat ninth. And Domingo Herman will be on the mound for the Yankees against the rookie, a 23-year-old rookie making his Major League debut, Alek Manoah. That's today's Yankee starting lineup for Game 1, brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea is a proud supporter of the Michael K. Show and the official hot tea of Joe Torre and the New York Yankees. Let's talk, everybody. 1-800-919-3776. Have some fun. get it rocking and rolling when we get back right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Well, this portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company. Please drink responsibly. Before we get to the calls about the Knicks, Don, I think it's only right that we congratulate the Islanders with a nice, decisive 5-3 victory over the Penguins, and now they move on against the Bruins, and the Penguins scored first, and you wondered, oh, what's going to happen here? Islanders answered quickly. Then they scored three straight at the end, and they win 5-3, so congratulations to them.
Yeah, there was they had the better goaltender, I'll say that.
And that was
a big difference in this one. And I got to tell you, I've been so on them about having to score the first goal, but the last couple of wins came when Pittsburgh scored the first goal, which I think is big. But this Boston team is going to be really, really tough because they've got a world-class goaltender. And Peter, listen, Pittsburgh did what they had to do. They scored. They played well. They just didn't get the goaltending. They just didn't. And whether it was Sorokin or Varlamov, it was just ended up being better than Jarry at the end of the day. And listen, DeSmith was hurt, so they couldn't really make a change. And I think the Islanders were able to take advantage of it.
Jarry was terrible yesterday. He was bad throughout the series. I mean, it was his mistake in overtime that cost them in game five, and it was his performance yesterday that you could argue cost them game six. Don, I mean, yet again, we saw this in overtime the other day, the Penguins completely dominated the third period and just couldn't really get any clean looks, and good goaltending by the Islanders was enough, and congrats to the Islanders.
Oh, good job. Islanders, now all we need is their jersey. We'll be wearing it. All right, let me give you the Mets starting lineup for Game 2, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Here it is. Jonathan Villar is going to lead off and play third base. Francisco Lindor, the shortstop, at second. Billy McKinney's in right, hitting third. Dominic Smith back in the lineup, so the bad knee okay. He's in left field cleaning up. James McCann behind the plate, batting fifth. Patrick Mazika at first base will bat sixth. Batting seventh, playing second base, Jose Peraza. Cameron Maben in center field is going to bat eighth. And Joey Lucchese will pitch, and he will bat ninth. And Thomas Zapucki will be the 27th player for today's game. That's today's Game 2 Mets starting lineup, brought to you by Tullamore Dew as the Mets go for a sweep. When it's game time, it's Tully time. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey during today's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Rob and Wayne. Rob, what do you got?
How you doing, guys? Happy getaway day for Memorial Day weekend.
How you doing,
Rob? I got three quick points on the Knicks, but I won't tie you up in reverse order. You guys were posting and toasting today, covering a lot of ground. The last one is only a team owned by James Dolan could break out their summer league uniforms when they have one of the most iconic uniforms in the league. Imagine how many of the iconic uniforms they would have sold if they'd be wearing them. They did that at the end of the season, too. Number two, as far as the behavior of the fans, you have alternative facts, you have 4 years of no courtesies, and you have people that just don't respect each other's space, add in the COVID virus. And, you know, this is a new America. It's like love it or leave it. If you can't be nasty, you know, you just can't, you know, be here. And the first one, the one I called on was, I was disappointed that the Knicks only got one, but at the same time, they could have dropped two or one both, and Randle disappeared. You have to assume moving forward, Randle's going to be a greater influence on the games, and it kind of makes me happy because I think in Atlanta, maybe away from the Garden, he'll get his stuff together. And if their 3 points start dropping well, I still see him taking this series. Thanks a lot. Great show. It's
certainly a fact that, you know, I mentioned the Hawks were missing shots. Well, the Knicks were too. But toward the end, they took control of the game. Now, Randle, you can't say he was a non-factor. He was a non-factor in the first half. Second half, he did his job. And Atlanta was 0-for-15 with Randle as the nearest defender from the field, and they're 1-for-23 overall in the series when he's the nearest defender. So he's doing something, man. He's doing something. Let's go to Corey in New York. Corey.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Peter, congrats on the album.
Thanks, man.
Mike, congrats on the book. Don, congrats on the hot dog. And everybody is really happy right now, obviously. And I was at the Garden last night. Let me first tell you that it was you guys. It's hard to comment on it if you're not there, because it's one of those events that after COVID and everybody being cooped up for over a year and it being the Knicks and their playoff drought, the amount of emotions in that building, everybody wants to rip their hearts out and put it on the floor, you know? So it's so hard. I feel like if they do get past this round, this is New York. We're smart fans. I think everybody will be a little bit more respectful for playing, you know, Embiid or Giannis at some point or something. You know what I mean? It's a little different than playing Trae Young, where obviously you think he's a good player, but he's not at that level. And I think that we wouldn't do that.
Well, I hope you're right, Corey. But, you know, I was in the building. They would yell all the time at Jordan, and it was nobody better. They would yell all the time at Reggie Miller, but it was with a certain level of decorum. So, and I do agree with what Corey said, guys. I don't know if you do. People have been cooped up in their homes for 14 months, so they're probably crawling out of their skin, but that doesn't make it okay for that lunatic to spit on Trae Young.
No.
Right?
And do you really think he spit on Trae Young, or that chant about what Young is because they don't think he's that great of a player, but when Embiid comes in here, they won't do it because they respect his game more? Do you think that's the – no.
No.
Believe me, if this – the spitting aside, Michael, this chant has already become a thing. If they beat the Hawks, it'll move on to the next series.
Yep.
That's just the way it's
going to – I think it's forever
now. It'll live in lore where it'll become something, because now the fans will look at it as, well, we got to do it. We did it against Atlanta. We got to do it against Philly. And if they beat Philly, then they're going to have to do it, you know, with the Nets or the Bucks or whoever else they that it'll be a thing. It'll go quietly away if the Hawks win and Young's great, because then it didn't work. But if it works, Michael, it's not going away.
Don, I mean, Michael, I think you'll like a take I have here. You know who could really stand to benefit from last night's behavior?
Who?
Boston.
How so?
Boston had eyeballs on them after Kyrie's comment about hoping that he wouldn't deal with any racism. A reasonable thought for an athlete, a black athlete, returning to Boston. But now, given the behavior of Philadelphia and New York last night, all Boston has to do is come with some modicum of decorum and respect, and I think they end up looking great. And my guess is that because even though there's a terrible racist history in Boston, there's also a certain level of respect in sports that exists there. I bet there's a chance that the fans looked at how people acted yesterday, how it reflected on New York and Philadelphia, and he gets a much warmer response as a result.
Disagree. I hope you're right, but I disagree. I think they're emboldened. I mean, they're not going to do something that's going to get him thrown out, but they're going to be vicious.
No, I think they'll want to look better than Philly and New York.
I don't know, because I think the people that are doing this, Peter, are proud of it and hear our opinion of it and think that we're just fuddy-duddy old people that don't get it, and it'll be a hold-my-beer moment around the league. I think there's a chance it'll get worse instead of getting better.
All right, before we take a quick break, time for the Pinstripe Report, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. So yesterday, Aaron Hicks had the wrist surgery, and Boone today, meeting with the media, admitted that's it. He's out for the rest of the season. The Yankees did call up Estevan Florial. He's not in the lineup for the first game, but the youngster could play center field in the second game. The 27th man for the second game is going to be Nick Nelson. Both teams do not have a 27th man for the first game. The teams have to agree to a 27th man for game one. According to Jack Curry, that agreement didn't occur. It's based on travel, whether teams feel they can get a player there on time. But the 27th man will be in play for game two. I mean, really, the Blue Jays, AAA team's in Buffalo. You could walk from Buffalo from when the game was rained out at 5 o'clock yesterday. It's lunacy. Lunacy. That's the Pinstripe Report, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer, beverage company. Please drink responsibly. You know who we have to talk to before we take a break? The man. the myth, the legend, the grifter from Connecticut. Griffin.
Oh, there he is.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good. You? How was the Challenger game?
Good. Good. It was good.
Good. What's up?
Before I get to my point, Don and Michael, you were asking if you could help out.
Yes.
Yes.
Try to do something to help.
Yeah.
We are trying to get a new field because we are sharing a field with the rest of the Little League stuff, but sometimes they're in the middle of it and they take half of our field. We're trying to get a field for just special needs where we can take the field and it's our field. But we need $400,000 to raise. You guys, if you guys want to help, could give us some money to raise.
You want Michael to come out of pocket? The $400,000.
This is a conversation directly for Michael.
That's what you could do. But if you don't want to, that's all right.
Okay. Well,
how could people donate if they want to help get this field put together? Because we don't have $400,000 to give you, Griffin. But maybe if we could pool everybody's sources together. So how could people help?
It's a link on Facebook that is called Miracle League of Talon, Connecticut.
Miracle League of what, Connecticut? Of what, Connecticut?
Of Talon, Connecticut.
How do you spell that?
Miracle?
No. The port of Connecticut.
Oh. Talon?
Yeah, Collins, is
it?
C-O-L-L-I-N-S. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I-N-D.
And it's on Facebook.
Yep.
All right.
Well,
cool.
We're going to get this information to Andrew. We'll handle this for you.
Oh, it's Talland. Oh, okay.
There you go.
Anthony Greek said Talland. T-O-L-L-A-N-D. Talland, like Holland.
Yes.
Okay.
Grifter, the point.
Also, I have a problem.
Go ahead.
With the same thing you guys have. The Knicks, I don't like the thing that the spitting on somebody during a global pandemic. That, to me, gets on my nerves. But also, something else that gets on my nerves, the stuff needs to stop. The FU chants need to stop.
Yep.
We are not trying to raise little kids out here to say, it's all right. What are you supposed to do? Little kids shouldn't know that this is all right to do. It's not all right to swear and to say the word. I never thought when we got to a certain point in life where FU is capable of something to be used. If I used it, my mom would growl me or yell at me. She'd be very upset at me if I use it.
Griffin, I was talking to somebody that was at the Garden and was sitting next to a family of four, a mother and a father, and two kids about 10. They were all chanting it. The mother, father, and the two 10-year-olds chanting it. That's where we are, man. That's where we are. So, I mean, we could scream into the wind. I think it's disgraceful. But I'm just one voice. Don's just one voice. You're just one voice. Peter, the same. We can express our displeasure. But until the people that run the venues throw people out when they start saying it, it's going to keep going on. Because as Don said, if they beat the Hawks and they say, well, that's the reason why, let's do it again.
Oh, it'll be a thing. It won't go away.
And you know what? I got to tell you, it started at Yankee Stadium with Altuve. That's the first time I ever heard that you could chant that word as an entire group of people, and it was cool. No, it wasn't cool. It wasn't cool then, and it wasn't cool last night or in game one. Now, Trae Young is balding. That's clever.
Although, I'll tell you what, if when it comes to someone either yelling bleep you or talking about me balding, I'd prefer bleep you. More offended by balding.
Right.
Yeah, I could see that.
Just being honest with you.
1-800-919-3776 is the number. Let's talk some more. You know the deal. You know the rules of engagement. Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, so we came out of the gate hot and heavy. So let's make it a little light right now. So today was my fifth and final golf lesson.
There we go.
That's right. It's Thursday.
All right. So I did it. And what we did today was we played a hole. And I guess they call it a scramble. So you
That'd
take,
be great.
So they said, all right, Michael, you hit it off the tee.
Okay.
Now, remember, I hit 90 balls last Thursday. Not one of them went straight. Could have killed people if there were people around. And I just got up there and I said, well, Dom's right. It's over. I hit a shot that Bryson DeChambeau would have been proud of. Bev went, whoa, it went right down the middle and within striking distance of the pin.
What, was it a par three?
It was a par five.
Well, then it wasn't within striking distance of
no,
the
no,
pin.
No, here's what we did. No, because there were people that were working on the where you tee off, so she had us move up like 90 yards, 100 yards. So where we would have been from would have been a par three. You're right.
Got it, okay.
And it was true. It was straight. Jody was proud of me. And even Bev said, see, that's what makes you want to come back. I said, no, not yet.
It still didn't make you want to come back.
It made me think, wow, this could be fun if you could actually do this regularly.
See, that's why you should have done what I did.
Which is what?
When I was in Burbank, California, last time I golfed. Had it just amazing shot. It was like
you
my second
off.
Shot under a tree, rolled right, lipped out. It would have been like an eagle. Tapped it in and said, I will never do this again. That's the shot I'm going to live with for the rest of my life.
Wait. Wow. Hold on. You literally didn't even finish the round?
No, I walked right off.
You, on what hole was it?
Well, we were close to the end.
Okay.
Wasn't like I, you know, I it wasn't the first.
I thought you did on the second hole.
No.
That would have been big lead.
We were late. It's a long story. We had to get ready for the rehearsal dinner. And the guy that was getting married didn't even show up for golf because that's kind of the way Steve is. But
this was beautiful Burbank, California.
Yeah, and Cash Bar too, which soured everyone.
Oh my goodness, how cheap!
So that was it. I felt good about that. So I was the reverse. It didn't make me come back. It said, "No, this is what I can live with for the rest of my life," and I think you should do the same.
I'll have to consider it. She kept pressuring me. We're going to do another 5-pack. You want to do the lessons? I said, at this point, no. Jody's going to do it.
Jody's coming back for more.
Yeah, because she actually thinks Jody's very good. She could be very, very good. Jody's good at everything she does.
What if, except for choice of men, what if Don is actually great at golf?
But and like, he's just depriving the world of it.
And himself.
Yeah.
I will watch every
golf.
Well, there was video a few years ago when some of our buddies went to the driving range, and I was hitting some nice shots.
And by the way, I showed Bev your shot, Peter, off the tee.
What'd she think?
She said, is this like a trick? Did he do that on purpose? I said, no. She goes, this is like one in a million.
Mm. I know.
She said, this can't be done. I said, oh, Peter did it.
I just did B. Mitch and Finley in D.C. That was the first thing B. Mitch asked. He went, I saw your golf shot. How the hell did you do that?
Right. So make it the last one you ever do. And you'll feel better about yourself.
And now, finally, this is not to elicit any kind of sympathy whatsoever, maybe from Don and Peter. I want you to listen to my day today. Would you listen for a minute?
Sure.
Got up, drove the kids to school.
Oof. Tough start.
Right? Ran to do the golf lesson from 9:30 to 10:45.
That's tough already.
Then I had to drive into the city for a meeting, which I'm not going to get into.
Really? Mm. No, you got it.
I can't.
What
so, could you at least text us what it
my
was?
My goodness. Yeah. It's nothing. It's nothing secret. Then I head to Yankee Stadium. I'm doing this. Then I got a doubleheader to do. So you say, oh, that's a long day. No. It gets better.
Okay. Really?
So you know this this book that's coming out?
I'm aware.
Sure. On June 15th, the Center Stage book?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, I've been pestering the book company. You know what? We really have to do the audiobook soon. They booked the studio tonight at 11 o'clock at night. I have to read the entire book after this show, a doubleheader, and then read the entire book into a microphone at a studio in Lower Manhattan.
Wait, you're joking.
No, that's my day.
Now, not for nothing, Michael, but if you want the book to be authentic,
right,
the audiobook should be in the voice of the people you interviewed as well.
No, it is, but I have to do the intros and stuff.
Oh, that's nothing. Come on. You'll be home by 12.
No.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, I know you. You never make any that. No, Peter, this is easy.
Easy.
And you got experience because weren't you the voice of
Mariano
Rivera's book?
Yeah. When the producer said to me, can you talk in an accent like Mariano? I said, I'll leave the studio right now if you expect the book to sound like that.
Wait, I have a question.
Right.
Your book.
Yeah.
Center Stage.
Yeah.
It's interviews that you've already done.
Yeah.
So what are you doing a voiceover for?
Well, every single interview has a long intro on how the interview came about, how they were off the, you know, the story that didn't show up on Center Stage.
So when you, that you had, that you originally dictated to an author?
No, no,
yourself?
I wrote myself. I am an author. Are I used you? To write.
So I didn't know you, so you wrote in every, for every interview you
at
wrote
35, like 35 interviews, and there's like probably a 4 or 5 page intro for each one.
4 or 5 pages?
Yeah, and then, you know, obviously the long open, you know, explaining what the book is.
So if people get the audio,
what you and Donovan mentioned.
If people get the audio book, what mm-hmm. are they? They hear that, and then what?
The tape of the interview
on the audio book.
Yeah,
well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty cool.
But at the same time, 35 times 5, you're talking about 175 pages.
Right, and then the open I wrote was about 15 pages. And Don thinks it's going to be nothing. I'm going to stumble out of there at 2 in the morning and then have to get up and do it again tomorrow.
Oh, that's I got to tell you, at first I thought your day sounded like such a joke and pathetic. And by the end, radio show, doubleheader, you're a nut. You're not going to, by the way, you had voice surgery like a year ago, or you claim that you did.
2 years ago.
That's a lot of wear and tear. And I'm a guy who does 8 hours of radio a day, but that's a lot.
Tim Ramsdell goes, that's a tough day, Mike. And then you got hit up by Griffin for $400,000.
Listen, no lie. I think Griff thought there was a fighting chance that at the end of the conversation, he'd have the whole ballpark covered.
I got to tell you, Griffin is something else. And there was so much unintentional comedy between Michael and Griffin there. Michael needs to know how to spell the name. He thinks he needs to spell miracle. Then he thinks it's Collins. It's Tolland. He needs $400,000. That was something.
Now, I was stunned. I thought he was going to say like $400. I was going to take the checkbook out and give it to him.
Yeah,
then he put $400,000 on.
Yeah, no, he's not bashful. Now, did you guys see the Pittsburgh-Chicago play?
Yes.
It's the best. Yeah,
tell me baseball's not broken. Seriously.
No.
Did you see my tweet?
But that has nothing to do with baseball being broken.
Sure it does, because nobody knows how to run bases because they don't have to do it anymore.
You think that's what it is?
I don't. I think that major leaguers have forgotten how to play the game. I tweeted out that this was edited out of the Bad News Bears movie because it was not realistic.
Well, let's take a brief time out because we're over 3 o'clock and we want to stay on clock. We've got a lot of stuff to do, more phone calls. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you. Mets have already won 1-0 over the Rockies' first game of their doubleheader. Yankees will start at 4 o'clock, so the pregame on Yes is at 3:30. Game time at 4. We'll have both games. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Michael K. Show.
You should feel good about the Knicks winning. I don't feel that great. I don't like the way they won. Really? Are you going to ride Derrick Rose in a best-of-7 series and he's going to have to play 35 minutes a game? And now the games come fast and furious. There's another game on Friday and another game on Sunday. Sunday at 1. How about a quick turnaround? So it's not going to give a lot of time for his body to rebound. So unless Julius Randle returns to what Julius Randle could do, is that good, A? And B, if you watch the game and you're honest with each other. The Hawks were missing wide open shots in the fourth quarter. DeAndre Hunter had 3 wide open three-pointers that didn't come close to the basket. Their second highest scorer of the season, Collins, was in instant foul trouble. It was a non-factor.
The Michael K. Show.
The F you can't need to stop.
on 98.7 ESPN.
And I'm going to need 400 grand. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN. Brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. So the Knicks win. Their next game will be Friday. The Nets' next game will be Friday as well. Jeff Green is out with plantar fasciitis. Jody's suffering from that as well. And he's going to be out for at least 10 days. That's a little bit of a loss for the Nets. So let's go to the phone, see what you're thinking. Danny in Cranford. Danny.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Just to touch on this whole thing with the behavior at the Garden and just in other forums throughout the country. We've seen it countless times in college games. We've seen it a handful of times in NBA games and other, whatever sports, football, what have you. But why doesn't Thibodeau grab the microphone and address the crowd directly? Or
like Sam Weiss.
You know, maybe here's a thought. Well, I'm sorry?
Like a Sam Weiss. You remember when they were throwing snowballs? He's like, we're not in Cleveland. This is Cincinnati.
Yeah, or even how about that Slug Dolan gets off his rear end and he says something to the crowd. I mean, you know, if nothing else, say, listen, we've been stuck in our houses for 15 months. Let's have some civility and actually enjoy being with other people, for God's sakes.
Well, thanks, I mean, you got it, Danny. I don't know if it would work for Dolan. I mean, he'd probably get booed if he grabbed the mic, whether fairly or unfairly. But if Thibodeau did it,
well,
or if Julius Randle did it, but I don't think that they care.
Well, how about this?
I mean,
this?
That's not their thing they're worried about. They're worried about winning.
Well, how about this? Like, the NBA should get involved, right? Because it's their product. It's their sport. You know, it could be heard. It bleeds through the TV. What if the NBA says that they'll issue a technical foul if it continues on the home team?
That would be big. It is unusual, though, in a building where fire Dolan, right, will get you thrown out.
Right.
That will get you thrown out.
Kind of wacky.
But F. Trey Young, it's fine. That 15,000 people get to chant it. They could stop it. Security could stop it in a second. And I think a previous call, I think that the civility of the country has changed a lot. I mean, the political discourse in this country between both sides is very nasty, very personal, and everybody feeds off that. Now it's okay. This is the way it is. This is the new world order. And unless you stop it now, it's going to go on forever. It really is. Let's go to Sal in Long Island. Sal.
How you doing, Michael? Don, Peter.
Hey there.
What's up, Sally?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Sure. Okay. Listen, I just want to go on a couple things with you, Michael, real quick, all right?
Okay.
One, the guy spitting, I mean, I'm not even going to get into that. The spitting and the cursing, it's just disrespectful all around. I mean, it's terrible, just terrible. Not even just for a sports fan, for New Yorkers. You know how it's going to get around now? Oh, well, it's the New York for you. And, you know, it's just terrible, the whole thing. I don't even want to talk about that anymore. But I just had to get my 2 cents in. The other one I want to talk about, I can't wait for the book, Michael. I got my granddaughter ordering that. And, Peter, I got your album on the way, too. So I'm going to support you guys. I'm going to support you guys. So now I want to know if you can support me. I need $300,000 for a pool.
You need this pool, right? Now, this
is
pool
this an
really
above ground? Is this like
well-being.
A Henny Hendon? Or is it
I love to swim.
I'll go above ground if you guys want to do that.
Well,
you
that's only
to
like
block.
$500, right?
Michael, the only thing I want to talk to you about, when I went to the game on Sunday, but on Saturday, Mike Green did the net game, and then he did the Knick game. I wonder, has that ever happened when one announcer for a team has done two New York teams like that in the playoff?
Well, I mean, when the Nets were winning championships, or going to the finals, Don, were the Knicks, I think they were in the playoffs, right? They might have been.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's been done.
Well, the one that pops in my head, not New York, but San Francisco, was Joe Buck. Remember he did, it was the Giant 49er playoff game and then drove to do one of the Giant, it was a Giant 49er regular season game, like the 425 game, and then drove across town and did one of the World Series games.
Yeah, I'm sure it's been done. So, Andrew, if you could get Sal's information, I want to get him that pool. Let's go to Mark in Queens. Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, Michael, Don, Pete. How you doing?
Marky Mark, what's up?
Well, just, you know, wanted to contribute to this talk we're having about the civility and or lack thereof, not just at the Garden, but I don't know if you guys have seen, there's all these fights going on in the stands at various baseball games. And I don't have an answer. It's just, it's so weird that people can't compartmentalize that like you guys do, saying how the show is really the candy shop. And that's great. It's just, it's so sad. It seems like, you know, the general public can't, you know, separate things like that. It's sad, and I don't know what we do about it.
You know, Mark, you bring up a good point. Have you guys seen this on social media? I mean, every day there seems to be some, like, flat-out brawl in the stands at a game where somebody
really?
Just walks up and punches somebody in the face.
Well,
civility is gone, man. That's why if you have, like, road rage, don't drive because you'll get killed. Well,
yeah, I think somebody on a motorcycle was shot and killed the other day. Because
oh, you
can
see
rage.
It happening. People are like wound tight because
well,
of what's happened.
Think
over
about
last
this.
Year.
Think about this perfect storm. Okay, we're a caller alluded to it. We're coming out of a time in which talking about people publicly from the highest offices became very commonplace to talk in a way that was we never heard discussed publicly before. Immediately. We then rolled right into a pandemic and an election. So you have an election, all this political divide, everyone's stuck inside, and now everyone's being released in the middle of the summer at once.
Yep, you're right.
It is a bad combo. Yeah, I keep my head down. I keep it moving.
Yeah, that's the thing to do. I mean, not to be alarmist, but don't get into any, like, hissing matches over something nonsensical because people are angry. People are really angry about what's gone on. How they've been in their house for 14 months, maybe people that they love died, I don't know. But we want you here forever. Do not get into a fight about something dumb because it could end tragically.
No, people are itching for a fight. You know, I saw a couple of people the other day. They were agreeing, but they were talking about something politically. It was like high charge that they agreed with. But they were speaking at a volume almost hoping that it would bother somebody on the outside and that there'd be a confrontation. Like, they were itching for it. They were fishing for it. So I think people are on edge. I think people are very confrontational now. You go to sporting events where now it's the first time since the pandemic we've been in close proximity with a large number of people where you can overhear conversations. I bet you some of those fights in some of these buildings, Michael, have nothing to do with the game that's going on. Somebody
Could
probably
be.
Is in a conversation with somebody else, person a couple of rows in front, disagree with it, say something. Next thing you know, they're going at each other. We've got to just learn to live with each other and calm down. I know we were cooped up for a long time, but again, like I said earlier, it does not give us the right to completely throw away the civilization as we know it to just all of a sudden start walking and talking and doing the things that we want to do and completely against everything that we've been taught and learned. Come on.
Islanders Bruins game one scheduled for Saturday at 8 p.m. Saturday at 8 p.m. There you go. Rick and Queens.
The Knicks are off, so that game will be on our air. 7:30 pre, 98.7 ESPN New York.
Beautiful. Hey, Rick.
Good afternoon, guys. I love the show.
Thanks, man.
I got two things to say, okay?
Mm-hmm.
To start with, the whole spitting thing kind of rains on my parade because where I watched the game at was at a sports bar. I'm not giving the name of the sports bar because they advertise it. I know how it goes at the station. But, you know, the thing that it felt so good was because you had black, white, Asian, Hispanic. Everybody's rooting. And for the first time, you even saw a few people fist bumping. And, you know, and everybody was so happy about the whole thing in terms of where it was concerned. And it felt so good. And then the idea that this could come about was, you know, just the whole thing was really upsetting. Number two, when the book comes out, I got to get you to sign it for me because I'm a big fan of yours. And there's one other thing that I have to say, though, that was really kind of upsetting to me. If you go back a couple of years ago with the interview that you had with Walt Frazier, okay,
right,
which was on the air, and it kind of came about where you said that if you were Carmelo Anthony, you would spit in Kevin Garnett's face.
Right, because he said something about his wife. Trae Young
right,
didn't. Here's what Don said this earlier, Rick, okay? I don't think there's anything that's more insulting than to be spit on. As Don said, I'd rather get punched than spit on.
Right.
My father once told me anybody spits on you, you fight them. So what Kevin Garnett allegedly said about Lala Anthony, I'm sorry, he should have spit on him. because he couldn't hit him, he would have been suspended. So, yeah, I did say that. But to compare that to what happened underneath the basket, there's a pandemic going on, and you're going to spit on Trae Young. Why? Because he's on the other team?
By the way, Michael, do you realize that you unintentionally, historically, already said what I said in the show today?
What's that?
Well, I said Trae Young is playing basketball. There's no world in which he could do anything that could warrant someone spitting.
Right.
In fact, the only thing I could think of someone legitimately trying to hit someone with their spit would be saying something to your wife, your mother, your child. It would have to be the most personal attack of all time. So I appreciate the caller's setup and a bit of a troll on you there, but there's no one is saying that spitting is ever the ideal thing, but what we're saying is maybe in the most dramatic of personally offensive experiences, you could see someone losing it and spitting. Never in the context of at an athlete, a performer, a basketball player. It's insane.
Let's go to Jim in New Jersey. Jimbo, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I like the show. I really listen as much as I can.
Thank you.
And I think you guys are missing the boat on this FU in the Madison Square Garden.
Tell us.
Don't you guys remember a couple years ago where LeBron James accepted the trophy and every word out of his mouth was F this and F that? That's the ridiculousness of this. Peter, to say it's because of the president was calling people out. The world has slipped to the lowest level, and our superstars have proportionally caused this. With this FU receiving the
you know
coach.
What, Jim?
You guys remember that too?
I do remember, and if you know, another one I'll tell you, and I ripped him for the, and I got ripped because I ripped him because obviously the words that he was speaking were dead on. But when David Ortiz stood in front of 35,000 people at Fenway Park and said, you know, F them, you know, we're Boston. But, so I understood the sentiment, but. Well, I always say that when you have to resort to using a word like that, your use of the vocabulary is not great. There's other ways to say something with spirit and emotion behind it. But
what was the LeBron thing he was referring? What did LeBron say again?
LeBron used the F word when he was like accepting some kind of award, and then David Ortiz in front of 35,000 people. I'm sure a lot of kids at Fenway Park used it as well.
I got to tell you though, I mean. Yeah, no, it's all part of a decaying of the way people speak.
But one of the things I was taught by my family, two wrongs don't make a right. Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't give you the right to do it. It was wrong when LeBron used the word. It was wrong when David Ortiz used the word. And it's wrong when you use the word. And we now live in that society where instead of defending yourself or the way you defend yourself is, well, he did it. He's doing the same thing. Well, just because he's doing it doesn't give you the right to do it. Still wrong. And if 100 people do it wrong and one does it right, well, the one guy is still right, then the other 99 are wrong. That's not the way that you're supposed to be able to conduct yourself in a public place.
This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pickard designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. We haven't heard from our good buddy, Morty in Plainview. Morty, talk to us.
How are you today, gentlemen? It's good to be back. A couple of things, Michael, if I may.
Sure.
In terms of the language at ballparks and arenas today, what would we expect? Would it be any different? Can you turn on a movie or listen to a song without the filthy dialogue that spews out of these so-called entertainers? It's disgusting, and our world is upside down. So I don't know what we can do about it. It'll take somebody with great courage to make a change or offer a change, but I don't see that happening. But since this is a sports program, a sports talk show, I got a question for you, Michael. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you've heard from the Yankee hierarchy what they're going to do to replace Mr. Hicks or Mr. Kluber. Now, I knew that Cameron Maybin was available. If I knew it, I assume Cashman knew it. So he went to the Mets for a buck, and we got a guy named Ryan Lamar, who I knew nothing about. From the few times I heard him or the few times I saw him swing a bat, I think we'd be better off with Hedy Lamarr. But okay, he is what he is, and now he's out as well. And we're really shorthanded, and we're coming into an important part of the season, the second 50 games. You know, we all win 50, lose 50. What are you going to do with this 50? So where are we? What have you heard? And how are we going to fill some of these gaps? What can you tell us?
Well, they called up Estevan Florial today, Morty. So he's probably their best outfield prospect. That's their first step. Cashman is working the phones. But, I mean, when you look at what Maben was with the Yankees a couple years ago, they loved him, and he did very well. But I think he's hitless with the Mets. He's like 0-21 the last time I checked.
No hits. Batting zero.
So the Yankees think that what they have is better than a Maben and a better than a Billy McKinney. I mean, they've had Billy McKinney, too. So they don't want to go that route. They're saying, okay, 37-year-old Brett Gardner is better than those guys. And they're going to give a shot to Florial. But I guarantee you, Morty, and we thank you for the phone call, that they are working the phones constantly. They're working the phones, and they're not. It's hard to make deals in May. It's just hard.
But listen, I love Morty. I love the call. I love the sentiment. But you can't sit there and criticize Brian Cashman for not picking up Cameron Maben. He's 0-23.
Right.
So, you can have him for a song, but so far that song isn't working out. It's unplayable. He's 0-23. So I could see saying, oh, Cameron Maben, you could have got him. If the guy was batting 300, Michael, he's been an automatic out.
Right. So they want something better, and they feel Florial could probably be better than Maben, and he's in their system. And they liked Ryan Lamar. They felt that he could hit, a little bit and play a good outfield. But then he tore his hamstring. So believe me, Cashman's probably on the phone every second of the day. I believe that the situation in the outfield is untenable, and they have to get somebody. But you can't just get anybody, because that doesn't improve things either. Daniel in Union, Daniel.
Hey guys, what's up?
How you doing?
Good. So I agree with you guys completely that I don't like the F-word chants, but I got to disagree about blaming the pandemic and the innuendo towards our former president. There has been this vitriol at sports since the beginning of time, and it comes from the athletes themselves. Don't forget what Kevin Durant messaged, the most vitriolic, disgusting, homophobic things to Michael Rapaport, but nobody talks about that like we talk about Knicks fans. So don't blame the pandemic.
Well, that was, but hold on. But in all fairness, just real quick on for KD, that wasn't. It's not right, but that was intended to be private. We're not talking about.
It doesn't matter whether you say a terrible homophobic thing. It doesn't matter if it's private or public.
But Daniel, you're saying that it's been happening for years. So how old are you?
I'm 24.
Have you ever in your young life ever heard an entire crowd chant the F word? Ever?
Not. Actually, I have. It's happened before.
When?
Have you ever seen players fight with the stands? It happened at the Malice at the Palace. It's
not what he asked you.
That's not what I asked you. Have you ever heard in unison a crowd at Yankee Stadium, like did with Altuve, and the two games at Madison Square Garden, in unison, 15,000 people chanting F. Trae Young? Have you ever heard that word uttered in unison by an entire crowd in your young life?
You're not going to like my answer, but yes, but I can't remember a specific moment. But I know for a fact it's happened.
Well, no, Daniel, I'm sorry, buddy. Bud, I'm 60 years old. I've been in sports well more than half my life, since I was 22 years old. I've never heard it. Ever heard it. Now, have I heard pockets of people do it? Absolutely. I used to sit in the bleachers and people would do it at Red Sox games. I understand that.
You have heard a loud entire crowd probably BS chants before where they
yes,
say it.
Yes. But maybe you know me, Peter. For some reason, because I'm a lunatic, that word is a word that there's a line there.
It's fair. BS is different than bleep you. There's no doubt. And by the way, that guy completely misses the point. The Malice in the Palace, frankly, that's one of the things I appreciated about the Malice in the Palace. That was actually, as crazy as it was, Ron Artest standing up for players being treated like animals. You know,
if those people that were holding back Westbrook allowed him to do it, that would have been the same thing last night.
Exactly. I wasn't upset at Westbrook for wanting to beat someone up.
Goodbye to yes, by the way. Pre-game
Bye,
starts
yes.
in a moment. Doubleheader starts at 4. I'm sorry, Peter. Go ahead.
No, it's just that guy got it completely wrong, and I'm sorry. Kevin Durant saying mean or terrible or homophobic or offensive things in a private conversation is wrong. It is not the same as standing in public and screaming in front of children. That is a terrible, that is an apples to skyscrapers conversation.
And also what Morty said, entertainers and movies. Yeah, I get it. But you choose to watch those things. If you take a child to a game and a chant like that, You could choose to not have your child watch an R-rated movie with you. You could choose to not have him listen to songs that have curse words in it. But you can't take a kid to a ball game and the F word starts getting chanted. What are you going to say to your child?
And let me tell you something else, too, because I've been in love with music as long as I've been in love with sports. They've been swearing in songs forever. They've been swearing in movies forever. Okay? So it's not a new phenomenon, okay? And I know people are going to go with some of the hip-hop songs. Listen, I've heard metal songs. I've heard rock and roll songs. It's been going on for 50 years.
What's that song they always play at Christmas? I mean, actually, like, advocated for, like, sexual assault. I really can't wait, baby. It's cold. I mean, she wants to leave. He won't let her. How old is that song?
Right, well, but I'm just talking about the language, Michael.
Oh, I understand.
You know... The F word has been thrown out in movies going back to the 60s, okay? So let's not make it the movies and the music today. Listen, there have been swear words in music and in movies forever.
I just think we live in a very, very angry country. And when you're angry, from what I could tell, you have to fight the urge to use that word when you're really, really ticked off. I don't know what people specific factions of our society are angry about, but everybody's angry about something. And because they've been cooped up for 14 months, I'm not saying it's all because of the pandemic, but all of a sudden people, Peter just said it very well, this wasn't a trickling back to normalcy. We blinked our eyes and Madison Square Garden was jammed. It happened like that.
Yeah, we went from 10% to the building full in like a week.
Right. That's kind of scary, and I just think people are still, like, adapting to being free.
Yeah, I can't see how the person could write that off, too. And regardless of what I said yesterday about political climate, the biggest piece of this, I think, is people returning to the world out of the blue. And yep. For the record, it's not just in sports. I'm seeing a lot of places, professionally, for me in some ways, a real, like, hey, they're mentioning it's time to go back. Everyone go, 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 go. I feel like there's a really big rush because everyone feels good right now. And in addition to my concerns about health, people aren't quite ready to necessarily. We might need to build back our social decorum to some degree.
Well, because it's the one thing that is always forgotten in every walk of life, especially in this country, is the mental health of things. Like getting back to normal just mentally. And what this pandemic has done to people mentally. We know it has done physically with the actual getting of the virus, but what is being shut in for 15 months done to us mentally, our mental health? It's always what's forgotten about, always.
All right, so the Islanders playing the Bruins on Sunday, the Knicks and the Hawks tomorrow, the Nets and the Celtics tomorrow. A lot of stuff going on. Mets playing the second game of a doubleheader. Yankees about to play the first game of a doubleheader. Only the fourth time in their history that they've hosted doubleheaders on the same day in the same city. So Mets won the first game 1-0. We'll see how the rest of the day goes. 1-800-919-3776. Still lots more to do. You know the number. Kay, LeGreco, Rosenberg, and you on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael Kay Show.
Let's go to Vernon in Connecticut.
I watched the game last night at a lounge called 95 South. It was beautiful.
You said you liked watching in the bar?
It was great. Yeah, we were at the bar last night.
And you think that's good?
Yeah, he was saying he loved
That's not for me, man. I understand the camaraderie. Some people love, like, being with other fans. Big games, I'm odd. I think Andrew disagrees with me, too. Even with other fans of my team, I'd rather just sit and watch it alone. I don't know if I'd want to be in a bar with a bunch of people, music in the background, or even if they had the game on. I don't know if I'd be able to do that.
I can do it in a 7-game series.
The Michael Kay Show.
Hi, Richard.
Hi, Don. Peter.
On 98.7 ESPN.
This portion of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. Probably just left work. People that are able to get the Friday off for an even extended weekend for Memorial Day, enjoy it. Hopefully you're not stuck in too much traffic, and we'll be able to get you through and guide you through until 6:30. We got a special ENN that's coming up at 6 o'clock. Why is it special? Well, with no Michael, the big fella, Chris Carlin, is going to
join us. I love a big fella.
Need that, Anthony? Thank you.
I love a big fella? Wow,
I need a big fella.
I love the big fella on ENN. I'm a big fan of the big fella.
You've been saying that for a while now.
I'm a big fan of the big fella. Now, real quick, that the rejoiner there, hearing you re-talk about why you hate sports in public, Don.
Yeah.
It reminded me of something I truly hate about sports in public. Lansdowne Road, 43rd and 10th. Great sports bar. Great sports bar. There was one thing they did that drove me absolutely nuts. They put the sound on Sundays. The sound would be on the main game, right? Which is pretty common at bars, right? Like whatever the main local game is, the Cowboy game, whatever the big game is, they put the sound on. But whenever it went to commercial, they played annoying bar music at every commercial. I'm like, why do you think that? I get you don't want to blare commercials, but why does a bar think that I'm in the middle of a football game, and when it goes to commercial, I want like, what are you doing? How is that the vibe?
I know. It's, well, I've got, there's like the perfect sports bar I haven't been able to find anyway. Forget about going to a sports bar for a big sporting event. Not going to be happening. But last night was a big, big sporting event for the Knicks. They even up the series at a game apiece. And listen, there was a lot of bad in this game, all right? They did not play well in the first half at all. Randle especially. And they were down by as much as 12 midway through the third quarter. And the feeling just seemed to be like, I don't know how you were feeling about it, Peter, but like, wow, we talked up this team. We were really excited about this team. They're gonna go out quick because they looked even worse than they did in game one. But we talked up game one because they only lost by, the 2 points on the floater by Young with 0.9 seconds to go. And now they're getting blown out of their own building. Randle looks as pedestrian as he did in game one. And they couldn't get anything going. But in the second half, Randle still wasn't feeling it offensively, but he played exceptional defense. Bullock had that hard foul on Hunter, seemed to kind of turn things around a little bit. Hawks started missing some shots. Knicks did as well, but they made the shots that they need to make. And even though the final score was what it was, it really was just a one-possession game pretty much throughout the rest of the way. But that big turning point in that third quarter happened with Trae Young on the bench. How you taking him out? Now, he still had a great game, finished with 30 points, but Peter, with 2:21 left in the third quarter, he didn't return until less than 9 minutes left in the game, and the Knicks went on a 16-6 run while he was absent. And again, the only thing I can think of is Nate McMillan was trying to like lose the battle to win the war because he knows he's going to need Young, and they've got a game tomorrow. They got a game at 1 o'clock on Sunday. They got to travel to Atlanta on the off day on Thursday. So, hey, we got a lead here. Maybe we'll get away with it. If not, no big deal. We got the split we were looking for. That could be the only logic. But at some point, Peter, I'm waiting for him to come back into the game, and he wasn't. So I'm thinking, well, maybe he's hurt. But that was a strategic mishap to me that let the Knicks win a game because I disagree with Michael. I don't see a scenario of the Knicks coming back 0-2. So
no, you want to put the dagger.
You want to save him for the rest of the series. You could have made it a short series by finishing off the Knicks last night. Instead, you gave Trae Young a little bit of a rest, and now you might have to play a couple more games because of it.
Well, listen, Trae Young played 35 minutes. Clint Capella played 36, most on the Hawks.
Oh, how big was he?
No, he's a great player. Who played the most minutes in the entire game, Don?
Randle played like 38?
Randle played 36, but Derrick Rose, 39.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's right. He played 38. You're right.
So, listen, the fact is McMillan didn't play anyone really for over 35 minutes. I don't know if that's just a policy. I don't know. I mean, and also, we should for a moment, though, because the Knicks won And because Trae Young had the errant pass with 30 seconds left and his last couple possessions weren't great, he threw the alley-oop. There was a miss there as well. It was actually a great pass by Young, but it wasn't completed. You kind of forget, Don, that with a ton of self-created pressure by Trae Young and the way he responded to the Knicks fans on Sunday, Don, you kind of forget that he really stepped up yesterday.
No, he did.
He had 30 points. He was 4 for 7 from 3, 11 for 20 from the floor. Trae Young was not intimidated by the moment.
No, this is obviously this series will be coming back to New York, so you know that'll fire the fans up even more. I don't know if you saw this New York Post article, Peter, where I guess Nate McMillan and the Hawks are complaining about illegal picks or screens by the Knicks during the game last night. I don't know if any of that jumped out to you. It didn't to me. But is that
no, but I'm not
going to
sit here and pretend that I noticed
the same games he did before the series started.
I'm not going to sit here and notice say that I would ever notice illegal screens during a game, but I will tell you one thing I noticed. The Hawks got a little bit of wine in them, huh?
Well, I think
Nate
it's led
McMillan
by,
has a little bit of wine in them.
Yeah, but I think it's led by McMillan. You know, he's a former player, played all those years in Seattle, and he probably knows what buttons to push with referees. And remember, he had the whole comment, got fined, what, $25,000 for it, about the NBA wants the Knicks to win. So I'm sure this is all part of a strategy, just plant a seed going back to Atlanta where you usually get the calls at home anyway. It's probably not a bad strategy, right? Because the first screen that gets thrown out there and it's not called, it'll be like, oh, my God, he was right. But maybe you get a call that you normally wouldn't get because you planted the seed in their head before you went into game three that it's going on.
Yeah, no, from a ref strategy standpoint, it could be effective. But for making his team look good, I don't know. There's been a lot of complaining with this team.
Yeah.
Since before the series started, as you pointed out, the whole thing about the NBA wants the Knicks to win. I've never heard fans do anything like they are in the series. Of course, then the Knicks then make him look right by having one maniac who spits on someone. But by and large, a lot of complaining from Nate McMillan.
Now let's hear from Nate talking about Trae Young's minutes.
That's our normal rotation. You know, Trae normally comes back in the 8-9 minute mark. Again, Trae played 35 minutes. So, you know, it's a 2-3 possession game with about 10 minutes to go on the clock. You know, you got to give your bench some time to try to get something going.
Well, that doesn't explain the length of it. Gets taken out with 2:21 to go in the third quarter, gets the whole break between quarters, and then the first 3-plus minutes of the fourth quarter? And as you're seeing your lead dwindle away, and now you're on a 10-point swing, a 16-6 run, you allow the Knicks to get on, and then, I don't know. Again, I don't watch enough Hawk basketball to know this is just kind of what we do, but I always hated that excuse in sports. Well, this is what we do. All right, well, you know what? That's what you do in the regular season, but when you're up 1-0 in a best-of-seven series and you've got a chance to take a stranglehold of that series, I'm sorry, you got to adjust, no? Well, this is what we do. Well, you did it, and I think it cost you a game.
Yeah. I never understand stuff like that.
But
I really don't.
But he knows his players, but I really do believe that a lot of this just came down to I've got bigger fish to fry here. It'd be great to get this game, but we wanted to get the split. But I've got a chance to take a 2-0 series lead. Any other situation, maybe 2-0's not a big deal. I really believe if the Knicks lost last night, they're done. And now you let them back into the series. Now you're guaranteeing yourself a game 5. Maybe he just – you even said that maybe the Knicks would have found a way anyway, even if Young had stayed. I think Nate McMillan agrees with you that they probably would have found a way to win the game anyway, so why not just give my guy a little bit of rest? He'll be that much stronger in game 3. And then we'll take the 2-1 series lead and we'll take our chances the rest of the way. We'll see. 1-800-919-3776. Always a pleasure to talk to Spike in New Jersey. How are you, buddy?
I'm terrific. First of all, I want to thank you guys. Peter, good luck with the album. And Don, good luck with the Texas Wiener.
The Texas Wiener, this is what makes me feel bad, Spike. The Texas Wiener, it's fake. It's not even true. I'm just a talk show host. So I had to make up the Texas Wiener just to be able to compete with these guys.
where I lived previously before moving to Florida, there were a number of Texas wiener places, and they always had the special on, and the trimmings were great, too. But that's okay. Whatever you do, I'm right there for all you guys. You guys know that by now. I got to make a comment on the game last night. You made a comment about Trae Young. Nate McMillan's 18-36 coaching playoffs. He made an egregious error by not putting him back in. That was a bunch of malarkey, as Mr. Biden says, that excuse with the minutes played. The Knicks made a great adjustment to win that game, not only having the conviction of putting Derrick Rose back in, but they pushed Trae Young out farther where he could. His passes didn't really put the players, with the exception of the one young fellow who came back, the 22-year-old, sorry, I don't remember all the names, who made three threes, and then he had three good looks. He didn't allow the pass to put them in a real tight scoring position, and they kept him out of the lane. It was a very, very subtle thing. And props to the senior citizens of the NBA. Taj Gibson, out of Brooklyn, 37 years old or close to it, was brilliant. Boxing out. Even quickly, everyone boxed out. Their discrepancy in the total rebounds is off the rails. I think it was 15 or 16. It's just a great series, and one of you fellas said it, or maybe Michael when he was there. Let's face it, these teams are pretty equal match in a different way, and whoever wins is going nowhere. Here's my conundrum with the NBA, which I love so much. The East is pretty easy to figure out. If Brooklyn doesn't do it, it'll be Philadelphia, who I watched a little bit last night, and Simmons and Harris are playing at peak efficiency, and they have a lot of shooters. I don't know who's coming out of the West. I have no idea.
Well, that's why the Lakers are the favorite, Spike. That has to be. A play-in team is looked upon as the favorite because it's that wide open, because nobody respects Utah or Phoenix. And Phoenix has got to go up against the Lakers right away. That's got to be the answer, Peter. When else would you see what in essence is a 7 seed being favored to win a conference in the NBA? I've never seen a 1 seed so disrespected like Utah. I'm not saying it's not justified, but really, you remember a 1 seed that is completely discounted?
Well, this is a very weird circumstance, you're right. When else do you see the supposed best team in a conference have either injuries or have players take off or both so much to the point that they get that low a seed in the playoffs? It just would never happen. I'm trying to think of a comparison. In football, it would never happen. Everyone's playing for home field advantage. Everyone's playing for a bye. Yeah. So you would never see someone take off and get the 6th seed, the playoffs of the NFL, but they're the best team in the conference.
No, but I don't know if the Lakers did it on purpose, but they played themselves right into a play-in game. Right? I mean, they
I think it went too far.
Like two extra games just to be able to advance to the playoffs.
I know.
It's well, actually, just one because they but they still took the chance of maybe having to play two.
Yep.
Right? It took a three by LeBron to break a tie. Otherwise, they were going to have to play another game. And then the favorites to come out of the conference. So the West is crazy. That's the perfect example of that. Let's go to John in Forest Hills. You're on ESPN New York.
Hey, Don, Peter, first time. Great to be on. Two things I want to bring up. You know, Nate McMillan has really just been, prior to the playoffs, saying that, you know, the NBA wants the Knicks to be in there. So this is all just gamesmanship about, you know, he feels that they were doing illegal picks and things like that. He's just trying to gain an edge. But, you know, I really feel that, you know what, we're going to go to Atlanta split, come back and win. I think it's a 7-game series because they are – the 5-4 is definitely a great series. And, you know, Young is – you know, he's a great basketball player. And, you know, they backed him up, but he was still hitting those 3-points. So, you know, they got to still put somebody on him, even if he's hitting from the logo or the Knicks logo.
Wow.
Just to get your thoughts.
Well, look at it. Nate McMillan kind of set us up, right, where you know this is a guy that's not going to play more than like 35, 36 minutes in the game. So you got to get yours in the other 13 to 14. Because I think he's going to score his 30 points, Peter. I think he's that good. But it doesn't mean you're going to lose. Just make sure you keep Bogdanovich where he is. and take advantage of the time when Young's going to be out. Because if Young's only going to play 34, 35 minutes, then you're going to have plenty of time to be able to take advantage of his absence. If that's the way McMillan's going to play it, where nobody's going to play more than 34, 35, he's going to distribute the minutes, use the bench, then if he's going to be at his word to the point where I think it cost him a game last night, well, then that means you can clean up in the 10-plus minutes
by the
that
way,
he's out.
And, Don, we talked about the reasons you feel good if you're a Knick fan. Randall's low output, you know, R.J. Barrett in game one, not particularly special in either game. 13 points last night. And those are reasons you feel good about getting the split. If you want to look at the flip side of that coin, Don, this game was in question till the very end. Bogdanovich was 2 for 13 from 3.
Mm.
How different is that game if he's 5 for 13 from 3?
And how much were those misses just good defense or he just missed? So you say you feel good about it, like, but you know, do you feel...
No. I'm saying I don't.
Right.
It's the flip side. We're looking at all the reasons you feel good, but don't forget Bogdanovich was terrible last night.
Yeah, a little self-forced errors, right? Like that really, because I don't know if it was great defense or just their shots weren't falling. Now, the Knicks' shots weren't falling either. I'm just seeing two very evenly matched teams, and I think it's going to be a fun series, and now it's going to tighten itself up. You got a game tomorrow right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. We'll lead you right into it. And then a 1 o'clock game on Sunday, so a short turnaround there. And by the time we hit the air on Tuesday, Peter, because we're going to be off on Monday because of the holiday, you know, this series is going to have a completely different complexion, right? You know, because they're going to play on Sunday. So we're going to even be, you know, 2-2 series getting ready for a game 5, or somebody's going to be up 3-1. And the way these teams are playing, I don't know if anybody's going to win 3 in a row. So, you just hope you get a 2-2 or the Knicks up 3-1, and we're talking about getting ready for a clincher. Could be a lot of fun. 1-800-919-3776. Speaking of clincher, that's what happened out on the island last night. First time in a long time. We'll bring that into the conversation as well. And plus, I need to take our leader to task. There was a few text messages during the last segment, Peter, that really aggravated the hell out of me.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
Come at me, nerds. Come at me.
Oh, no, you're beefing with Kay and he's not even here?
That's right.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about this.
On 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.